Well, I'll ask a couple questions. I'm talking today with Florence Otten Davidson at her home. It's August 9th, 2005. Okay, Mrs. Davidson, one of the questions that I had about the PEO, what was its major function in LeGrand at the time?
It was furthering education for women.
And what did the organization actually do in order to further education for women?
Well, they would hold... Well, I'll tell you about what we're doing now, which is different chapters do different things. Mm-hmm. Like one chapter has a big sale on nuts that are absolutely wonderful. They're all packaged, and they have quite a variety that they offer. And this is the way they make their money that goes towards education. Our chapter, Chapter DK, has what we call an auction dessert in November, about the middle of November. And we have sell goodies and bread and pastry and jams and jellies. And then we usually have several tables full of things that we silently auction, and then we have a verbal auction, and we'll raise money this way for education. And I know our chapter has been very successful with this dessert auction. And we,
when did that start? When did you start?
Well, it probably started about... it might be as long ago as 7 or 8 years. And
so when you first started in the PEO, what kinds of fundraising activities did they do?
Well, you know, I'm not aware of the fundraising. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that they did a lot. I think it was through donations of the members that went towards the scholarships for education for women.
And how did you choose the women? And we're talking that earlier, so when did you join PEO?
Well, back in 1954.
Okay.
I've been a member for over 50 years.
How did the group choose which women would get scholarships?
Well, they would have a committee, and it would depend upon their need, mostly, but academic achievement, and they even looked at leadership achievement, not only in the school, but in the community. And that was pretty much the basis, I think. And I think they still do this. And I think need plays a very big part in it.
How were the members for the DK selected?
How were they selected?
Uh-huh, when you first joined in the 50s. How were they
Well,
selected?
Let's see, I joined in 54, which was the first chapter in LeGrand. And then... a group of us left and formed DK because I was becoming large, and so we felt that we could start another chapter, and we could under the rules and regulations of the state. And we chose people that we felt were interested in furthering education for women, and that they would, we thought that perhaps they would enjoy the fellowship of it, and yet, I laughingly only saying, I think the reason I was invited to become a PEO back in 54 was because I had a large front room and a large dining room to help put on a luncheon, because we had luncheons every time we met.
Uh-huh.
And it would be easy to do, you know.
Right.
But I had a large home, and I kiddingly always said that was the reason I was included. But they must believe in God, for one thing. And
how do you check that?
We ask them, and they must reply to that question.
Uh-huh. When the selection occurs for the PEOs, is it based on anything besides, does it go across all economic and racial, is the selection, is there anything that would keep somebody out of the PEO at all?
I don't think so.
Mm-hmm. And is it members? The members select the next person?
Yes, we vote on the person.
And
there's always, there has to be a recommend by, I think it's 5 members. And we usually go on that.
Did anyone ever want to join that was not selected to join?
They never approach us. Well, because it's done by invitation. We expect them to hold office and to attend the meetings. And it's based on the betterment of each woman, as well as the furthering education for women.
And were there younger members?
Oh,
and
yes.
Older members?
Yes.
So it wasn't
middle age.
Uh-huh. And so would anyone campaign to be selected? Would someone say, for instance, if a person wanted to join, would they contact one of the members and ask them to select them?
You know, I know of no one ever doing that.
Hmm.
I don't know of anyone ever doing that.
What other...
That surprises me.
Uh-huh. Because
and,
it seems like such an interesting organization. And it seems like people would want to. And so my question was there anyone that really wanted to? And that's like the people who wanted to join the usually selected by someone.
I only know of one. She was voted on, and we accepted her for membership. And then, of course, we asked her if she believed in God in a letter to her. And she was to answer the question, as well as whether she would like to be a member. Well, she did not profess belief in God, and we couldn't initiate her. We had to turn her down. And we felt bad about that. I liked her very much, and many of us did. And she's a lovely lady. But she was very honest with us and said she did not believe in God. And we're based on the Christian religion.
So what's the letters being posted?
Oh, it's funny, I can't remember what the P stands for.
That's okay.
But anyway, the gist of it is it's an educational organization. And we even help foreign students. We learn where a foreign woman may want to come in and work on a PhD. And we have had one like that some years ago. We haven't done anyone recently. And we saw to it that she had financial help, and she was able, only with stipulation, that she had to go back to her own country to further the education of women, which she did. And I've kind of forgotten where she came from. I want to say Malaysia or a small country somewhere. And I know one of our members used to hear from her always, about once or twice a year. And she went back to head up a school for women in her country and advanced education. And so there are various types of scholarships, and we also have loans too. There's a young woman right now in our valley that is in the nursing program up here at the university. She's been accepted. She will be a junior. And we're helping her to get what we call an ELF loan, E-L-F loan. And it is a loan. And it's large. And it's will amount to about $9,000 over a two-year period.
So you help people get loans
As well as scholarships.
Was there anything about your organization that was secretive?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And
the initiation is secretive.
Why is that?
I suppose part of the mystery of it. And it was started way back in 1862. And there were a group of Wesleyan College girls that gathered together. There was even a group, I think, that had formed that later became Pi Phi sorority, and so they decided to have their own group, and so a group of seven got together and started it. Has grown. It's, I forget now how many chapters there are in the United States and Canada. And then there are associate groups too, like for people that go into the Southwest for the winter. And there are associate groups, and they get together. And there are PEOs from all over the United States. And I have a friend that belongs to one. They aren't, they're just an associate group. They're not a regular chapter.
How often did your group meet in the 50s? Was it
twice a month.
Mm-hmm. And so the initiation was secret, but what you were doing was not secret? I mean, did they publish the newspaper? What kind of scholarships you gave people, or did you try to keep that secret?
No,
as well?
we usually had an article, a small article, about $15,000 a year.
Yeah. I have another question for you. I want to talk about what it was like in the 50s when you were here. Being part of what might be called the social movement in this country, what people have talked about as the social movement. What did you feel about? Did you know that you were part of that social elite? Did you ever get the feeling that you were? So I'm trying to kind of get an idea about kind of the, you know, there's not a class system, but you know, sort of the upper crust of what was in La Grande at that time. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, you know, my first husband was a physician and surgeon, and we did have a nice home, and he had a very fine practice, and I suppose maybe that might have put me in that category, although I didn't think of it that way. I know that I had things that other people didn't have, like I had full-time help in my home when my children were really little. I had 4 children within 3.5 years, and so I had quite a few little babies running around, and I was lucky to have full-time help. And so that might have put me in that position.
How did it feel to have people around you?
Well, I didn't realize they did. I didn't realize they did.
What other organizations did you belong to in the 50s? Social or philanthropic organizations?
Well, make our goal, but we often, United Way often didn't make their goal. And I've forgotten now what it was, something like 75,000, I think. In that
neighborhood. How did you get people to give money to the United Way?
Well, we had letters that went out to people. And, of course, we had a list of all the people that had donated in previous years. And we even had people go around and volunteers that would go around and knock on doors and ask for donations and leave the information with them. It was usually a card and an envelope so that they could fill it out at their own convenience and send it in.
Do you remember who you gave money to from the United Way?
Yes, some of them, the Girl Scouts, the Boy Scouts, the Salvation Army. You know, I can't remember who else. There were about six of them, as I recall. Sorry, but I don't
That's
recall
all right.
any others. And I know that we did have them. And whether they still are receiving money or not, the ones that I can't remember, I don't think so, I imagine. I want to say that camp for speech impaired children, I think, was one of them.
Where was that?
Well, it was off somewhere, not, I think, near Emigrant Springs. Now, I'm not sure. I never was there. I never went there. But we would hold meetings, and people would come and present their program and how much they would like to have. And then the board would meet and decide how to divide the money. Nice donations from corporations, Gordon's, Boise Cascade, the railroad. We had, I can't remember what it was called. It was our electrical system. It wasn't called Oregon Trail Electric as it is today. It was called something else. But anyway, they always gave a nice contribution. And sometimes, and also we would contact businesses and have them have their employees donate.
How did you have time to do all this and raise a family and teach?
Well, I didn't do it all. You know, I had a lot of people working. Volunteers that were working on it. I can't claim credit for all that. David Baum, Sr., was the one that handled the corporations, and he would run around and tell them, well, it's time for you to donate to United Way. He had quite a way with people and was very successful in collecting money. And then, of course, we divided the city, you know, into areas. People took various areas, and they would go door to door, contact their friends. And the business, we divided up the businesses.
How do you think LeGrand has changed
when my first husband was killed, I left the country club because I didn't feel I could leave the children and play golf. I loved to play golf and I loved to play bridge. And I didn't feel that I could leave them. We had a swimming pool and they were young. I felt like I needed to be at home because to play 18 holes, you know, there goes 5 hours right there.
So were there days when women played golf and men played golf?
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. And I think they still have a woman's day, which is Wednesday, and the men play on Thursday. Women don't play on Thursday.
And women got together to play bridge at the country club?
Yes, after they played golf. And they played 18 holes in the morning, you know, started early. Then they would play bridge in the afternoon.
And then would that stretch into the evening?
Well, no, you would be home probably by... they used to serve lunch out there. And the women would put on the lunches, and they were lovely. They all tried to outdo each other, you know. That's true.
Uh-huh.
And
so people would bring food out there, or was there a kitchen?
They would cook right there in the kitchen.
Oh.
And have lovely lunches. And decorate the tables and make them attractive. And they don't do that now. If they have a luncheon, it's usually catered.
So were there days when men and women both would be at the country club to do
play golf?
Play golf or
yes. Things? Uh-huh. Yes. I think the men gambled on their days.
You mean playing poker? Or?
I think so. I think it was rather hush-hush. My husband didn't do that.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, my first husband, I really didn't play golf. He just didn't have time for it. My second husband played golf and got to the point where he got tired of looking for his friend's ball all the time. His poor friend would say, "Where did you see where it went?" So he quit and he said, "I'd rather work in my garden." So that's what he did. Do you really want to belong to the country club? And I said, no, I'm ready to quit. So this was back in about 84 that we both quit. And he sold his golf cart, and I gave my golf clubs to my daughter. And I was in my, let's see, by then I was, I guess in my 60s.
Other organizations that you remember when you were first married, when you first joined them, that were either civic or social gatherings?
Well, the Elks Club head off doing that, or we gave bridge parties, and we'd have maybe 10 tables of bridge, 40 women, but we'd get parties that big.
At your house?
Well, at the country club, and we gave one at my house, but I don't think we had 10 tables of bridge. We served a dinner and bridge several times, but I think it was more like maybe 5 or 6 card tables, maybe 30 at the most. And we used to have linen tablecloths and linen napkins, use our china, our crystal. I can remember my sister and my sister-in-law and I went together several times and put on big parties just for women. Really have a lovely life, and I have on the Dewis Kendrick Education Trust
Fund.
Yes, you
mentioned that.
Did I mention that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That's really important.
That's one of the things that I do, community-wise, and also I'm one of probably 85 or 100 trustee foundation.
Oh.
I think they call me call us trustees.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not on the executive board or anything like that, but I contribute each year to the foundation.
So you've kept up your civic life?
A little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot, but a little.
Just enough.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for talking to me.
Well, you're welcome.
I think this really rounds out the interview very nicely.
Well, I look back on that early life. Deeper meaning for me. Excuse me, I seem to have a tickle.